Welcome to the Lucidology 101 to Lucidology 102 Bridge and Troubleshooting Guide. I have taken this about an hour and 20 minute video to answer a whole bunch of questions that people have sent in about Lucidology 101 to fill in any gaps you may have about it and give you a very solid foundation that you can use to build on for Lucidology 102. Okay, so the first big question that we want to cover is, how do you get started with Lucidology 101? There's a lot of information in it, and how do you focus on one thing so you can get started and start having lots of OBEs quickly? Really, the key here is to understand the process. The process starts out with, first of all, understanding what sleep paralysis is, and that when you enter sleep paralysis, what happens is your body shuts down and puts itself to sleep, and it puts your brain into theta brainwave, which means that you automatically enter into a subconscious focus without having to use any visualizations. And that's the central idea around Lucidology 101, where you're using biological methods only to induce OBEs without having to do any visualizations. Later on in Lucidology 102, I'll show you how to use visualizations to make all the methods in Lucidology 101 much more powerful, so that you can use shortcuts to speed up the process using visualizations in conjunction with the biological methods that they used in Lucidology 101. After you understand that sleep paralysis is a way to shut your body down and put yourself to sleep and enter a subconscious focus, the next key is more on the details of how do you actually fall asleep quickly. And the next couple of videos in Lucidology 101 are on how to use sleep commands, such as using sleep breathing and muscle twitching, to consciously command your body and instruct it to enter sleep paralysis. After that, especially in Lucidology 101 Part 7, which you should watch a couple times, is on the timer method. The timer method shows you how to go from step by step. You go to sleep at night. You wake up around 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You stay up for about 45 minutes, which is optional. You can also either just go directly back to sleep, or you can stay up for 45 minutes, depending on which works better for you as far as getting lucidity. You have a timer which beeps every couple minutes and wakes you up. The idea is that you're going to use hypnotic fractionation, which means that you're going to wake up and fall asleep and wake up and fall asleep using the timer. When the timer beeps, you wake up, and then you relax immediately, and you don't try to do any visualizations at all. You don't try to keep your mind awake. You don't try to stay aware during the process. You just go directly back to sleep. And the more times you can wake up and fall asleep, the more likely you are to enter into waking sleep paralysis, which you can then use to turn into an OBE, which we cover in the video on exit methods. And probably the most successful and easy Lucidology 101 style exit method is the safety cap exit method, which is where you create the feeling of rotation. Well, first of all, you create the feeling of extra gravity to push your non-physical body down into the bed, maybe an inch or two. And then you create the feeling of a rotating force to rotate your body around so that your head ends up where your feet are. And when you do that, then you know for sure that you can easily get up out of your bed and not disturb your physical body, because a lot of times it's really difficult to tell where your physical body is and where your non-physical body is. So by rotating around like that, it's easy to tell which one is which, and you just get up out of bed. There's no danger of accidentally moving your physical body and ruining the entire thing. So that's why the safety cap exit is a really good way to start out with your OBE exits. So that's the rundown for Lucidology 101. That's how you get started and how you go through it. And there are a lot more details that I left out, obviously, because Lucidology 101 is probably about an hour or so worth of material. So I recommend that you go back and you watch all of Lucidology 101 again, just to make sure you have a really good, strong understanding of that, because everything else in Lucidology 102 is going to build on that. You don't need to have mastered Lucidology 101 in order to do the methods in Lucidology 102. It is possible for you to go directly into using the Lucidology 102 methods without having done any of Lucidology 101, but it will definitely help if you understand what's going on in Lucidology 101. The reason for that is that it really depends on what your personal strengths and talents are. Some people have written to say that they found that Lucidology 101 was really useful for getting to them to the point where they understand what was going on, and it kind of gave them a way to orient themselves mentally while they're inducing an OBE. But they actually didn't really need to use the timer, because really the timer is like training wheels. It can help you get an understanding for what's going on, but if you want to go fast on a bicycle, then training wheels are, in the end, going to hinder you. So it depends on what your personal style is. You may be the type of person who will have much better results by understanding conceptually what to do, and then you don't need to use the timer. Or you may be the type of person who finds that having the timer as a framework to so that you know, okay, I'm going to have an OBE right now, I'm going to have an OBE right now, and you can plan out when, over the next hour or so, when you get up in the morning, say, all right, I'm going to have an OBE at the 20-minute interval, and I'm going to have an OBE during the 6-minute intervals, or whatever you plan on doing. And you map it out like that. That can really help. That was the way that I was when I first started out with this. I really did find that I was not any good at all at the visualizations, and that the timer, the more that I just forgot about using any visualizations at all and just focused on letting the timer do all of the work, the better it was that I got at it. It took me a while for me to really absorb the feeling of what an OBE is like get to the point where I didn't really need to use the timer anymore and get to the point where you could do it more intuitively. But if you are naturally an intuitive person, then you definitely do not need to use the timer, and there are people like that. So how are you going to find out what kind of person you are? In Lucidology 102, in the 100 OBE system, we're going to cover OBE workouts, and I'll give you a number of different inductions that you can use to gauge yourself and discover exactly what type of sleep type you have and what type of OBE you're best at. And once you go through each of those types of OBEs, you'll understand what you should focus on, and then pretty much just do that kind of OBE. If you want to get to having 100 OBEs in 100 days, then knowing what your specific strength is will probably speed you up more than anything else, because then you can just focus on doing that one type of OBE and not do a whole bunch of different experiments. You can just go straight on to what you're best at. So one of the questions, and something that comes up quite a bit, is the question of what do you do when you relax into an OBE and you almost make it, but then you make it into vibrations, and you kind of get stuck there and you can't get past the vibration stage. The solution here is actually to think about vibrations in a slightly different way. It's actually not the case that you're better off inducing vibrations and then trying to use the vibrations to do something in order to have your OBE. It's more the case that vibrations are useful as like a road sign. They tell you about how far you are into trance. And really, when you start to get good at OBEs, the more you have OBEs, the less you'll have vibrations. You'll get to a point where you'll have lots and lots of OBEs and never have any vibrations at all. And the reason for that is because vibrations are a sign that there's some sort of blockage. And the more OBEs you do, the more blockage gets cleared out, and so the fewer vibrations you have. So if you don't have vibrations, or you get into vibrations and you're getting stuck, it's really not a problem. The problem is elsewhere. It's a matter of where your focus should be. Your focus should really not be on the vibrations themselves. The focus should be on how are you collecting memory impressions? What are you doing to induce the memory impressions? What are you doing to energize the memory impressions? What are you doing to create a sense of difference between your physical surroundings and the non-physical focus that you want to acquire and then focus into so you can transfer yourself into the OBE? These are things that we're going to talk about when we get into the OBE blueprint. I'll show you exactly what to do in each stage there. I'll give you specific visualizations that you can use to develop memory impressions and then turn those impressions into something more solid and tangible, so you literally will see and feel your memory impressions and eventually develop them to be strong enough that you can use them to completely immerse your focus into the OBE. Vibrations are actually kind of a canard. They don't really make any difference. If you have vibrations, then you know about where you are in trance. You're pretty close to an OBE. If you don't have vibrations, then it doesn't really matter at all. If you get into vibrations, then get stuck. The problem is not the vibrations themselves, but because you haven't yet acquired memory impressions, or you have acquired memory impressions and you haven't used them to their fullest extent. You haven't used them so you can grab onto them and grow them and then turn them into something you can use to have an OBE. So don't worry about vibrations is basically the short answer to that question. One of the questions that comes up is the question of complexity. It seems like the techniques have so many steps, and that when you go to do the OBE, that there's too much to remember, and it makes it so that you can't quite go through the entire process without screwing something up. So there is something that you can remember, which will guide you through that. There is core central technique, this core idea that all of the techniques in Lucidology are built around. And if you remember this one technique, if you can master this one thing, it really is true that everything else will just kind of fall into place. And whenever you get stuck, you think back to this technique and see, what was it that I was doing that made it so that I did not fully take advantage of that technique? If you can go back and find where it is that that part has a bottleneck, then you can see where it was in your induction that you messed up, and you can fix things the next time. This core central idea is the idea of hypnotic fractionation. Basically, when you enter into a trance and you exit the trance, the next time you enter the trance again, you'll go deeper than before naturally without really having to try or do anything. If you remember that, you're pretty much golden, because all you have to do is, if you screw up, don't panic, don't just give up, relax and do it again. Next time you'll go deeper in a trance. And if you screw up there, don't panic, just relax again and do it again. Do it over and over again. That's basically the central idea behind the timer method. When you use the timer, really the only thing you have to remember is, number one, to just fall asleep and let the timer do all of the work. Don't try to stay aware. Don't try to do any visualizations. Just get good at falling asleep before the timer beeps. And also get good at making it so that you've tuned the timer so that it will wake you up when it beeps. Some people have written in to say that the timer files actually are completely silent. There's no beep in the files. There are beeps in the files. It's just that they're falling too deeply asleep. They need to use other techniques such as either sleeping in a room that's slightly cold, or using a timer that's faster, for instance, moving from a 4-minute timer base to a 3-minute timer base. Or there are a couple of other things that you can do to make it so that you're more likely to wake up with each beep. So this is the central idea. Whenever something is not going right, look and see, was I A, falling asleep, and was I B, waking up again? If you can fall asleep and wake up and fall asleep and wake up over and over again, eventually you will get to the point where you wake up in waking sleep paralysis. And from there, you're in the perfect launching point to enter into an OBE. All of the other stuff that I talk about in Lucidology 101 and Lucidology 102, really, those are just ways of, there's details and techniques to make that more likely, because there are a lot of ways that you can screw up and get off track. And so I've basically gone through and looked through all of my notes and all of the OBEs that I've had and saw what was it I did wrong here and how can you correct it there. So basically, all of the rest of the techniques are just correction patterns. But that one central technique, the idea of hypnotic fractionation, carries you through all the way from Lucidology 101 all the way to Lucidology 102, where you're no longer going to use a timer anymore. It's actually the same idea when you get through to the end of Lucidology 102 and you're doing quick switch OBEs, where you have no timer, you're doing OBEs without even entering sleep paralysis. You'll have no vibrations, your body will be fully awake when you do the OBE. But it still relies on the idea of hypnotic fractionation. You're still going to use the idea where you're going to enter into trance, you're going to come out of trance. You're going to enter into trance, you're going to come out of trance. You can do that over and over again. And where the speed comes in, what the way that you speed up your induction is to make it so that each time you enter into trance and you exit trance, that it counts for something, and that you don't lose ground by, for instance, moving your body or using eye motions that don't keep you in trance. Everything is built on the idea of hypnotic fractionation. Just keep that idea in mind, and you'll always know what to do next. Say, well, am I coming out of trance now, or am I leaving trance? It makes sense what you're going to do next based on that cycle. Figure out where you are in that cycle, you'll know where to go next. Also, another thing that you can keep in mind that really simplifies things with the timer method in particular is to know when to expect your OBE. If you're going to use the 4-minute timer base using the ramp setup, there are two 20-minute intervals. And in the center of those two 20-minute intervals are when you're very likely to have a spontaneous lucid dream. And on the beeps themselves, going into and out of each of those 20-minute intervals, you're very likely to wake up on the beep. Your body will either come out of sleep paralysis temporarily, or you'll wake up and you'll be waking up into sleep paralysis. Either case, you enter into waking sleep paralysis. If your body comes out of sleep paralysis, just be very, very still and practice your sleep breathing. Put your body back into sleep paralysis. You can watch your body fall back to sleep. And once you do that, you'll be in waking sleep paralysis, and you can use the exit techniques to then have an OBE. So those are really the two central ideas. The one central idea is hypnotic fractionation. Everything is built on that. And then this is kind of a specific case of how to use hypnotic fractionation when you're using the timer. When to expect it is in those two 20-minute intervals. If you don't get an OBE or a lucid dream during those two 20-minute intervals, then you're probably not falling asleep and waking up enough. It usually takes, when you're a beginner, it'll usually take you two or three times, maybe four or five times, somewhere in that range as a minimum of waking up and falling asleep before your body will respond with waking sleep paralysis. When you get better at it, it might only take you one time. I mean, you wake up and fall asleep, wake up again, and you're waking up into waking sleep paralysis, and then that's it. But when you're starting out, you need to be very aware of how many times it was that you were able to wake up and fall asleep before you get to that second 20-minute interval. Another problem that people will have a lot of times is that as they're relaxing into sleep, their body will jerk for a moment and move, and it'll wake them up, and it's very frustrating. I went through a period of probably about 6 months where almost every single time that I would relax, my arm would move or something, and it would wake me up and break the trance, and I had to basically start all over again. What I found was that if I would just let that happen, I never did find out really a good way to stop it from happening. But if I just allowed it to happen, and then wherever it was that my arm fell after it moved, I would just leave it there and then just go straight back into relaxing. And what I found was that my arm would not move or jerk again. And after a couple months, I stopped having that problem. So I'm not really sure what the cause is or what is a really good quick fix for that, other than to say that if it happens, don't give up, just keep on going. It may be related in some way to sleepwalking, because there were a couple times, maybe four or five times actually, that instead of my arm, what would happen a lot of times was that I would relax with my arm down at my side, both my arms at my side, and one of the arms would like flop onto my stomach. And that was about as much as it had to be, really, to ruin the trance. But sometimes I would wake up and my arm would actually be moving like that, like much more animated than a regular kind of arm flop. And so that phenomenon may be in some way related to sleepwalking. I'm not really sure what it might be, but And that is really about all I can say, other than just keep with it and hope that eventually it'll go away. It should eventually go away if you don't give up. Some people say that your body is actually, kind of has a mind of its own. And basically, it gets bored. And so it says, well, the spirit or the soul or whatever has gone off somewhere else, and I'm really bored just sitting here. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do something. And I don't know what to say to fix that other than maybe by not giving up and just continuing the trance again, what you're doing is you're showing it who's boss. And you're saying that's not going to work, and eventually it'll give up on that that particular tactic. So I wish I had a better fix for that, but all I can say is really just don't give up. Here is part two to what to do about vibrations. If you get into the vibration state and you get stuck, the answer that I gave earlier was more of a Lucidology 102 style of answer, where you're going to use memory impressions to acquire a non-physical focus and then focus into those impressions to transfer into the OBE. In Lucidology 101, we're not using any visualizations at all. It's all about your body's own biology to induce the OBEs. So here is the 101 style of answer for how to get past the vibration stage. The reason that you get stopped when you get into vibrations is because you have latent muscle tension. So in order to get past the latent muscle tension, the best way to get past vibrations is to have relaxed very deeply before you even start the OBE. And so that means go through all the 20 steps or whatever that are in the Lucidology 101 relaxation video and stretch against the wall and stretch out your hands really well and stretch your jaw and really, really relax deeply. Maybe go through that two or three times if you're getting stuck at vibrations a lot. Really focus on the relaxation methods. Now that is actually a shortcut for getting past vibrations. If you get to vibrations and then relax a little bit more deeply, then you will get past the vibration state. You'll get into the quiet zone where the vibrations come on, you have a lot of buffeting, and you have rushing noises. You relax a little bit deeper, and then everything goes away, and it's really, really quiet. And that means that you're right on the edge of having an OBE when you get into the quiet zone. With all the methods in Lucidology 101 and Lucidology 102, pretty much it comes down to two approaches to every single problem that you can come across. And I mentioned before about hypnotic fractionation and how that is, how everything else is built on that. So really, when I say you can just either, number one, focus on memory impressions and not the vibrations to get past the vibration stage, or number two, focus on really relaxing well to get past the vibration stage. Those are both shortcuts, because there is sort of a giant big hammer kind of approach, which takes a little bit longer, but is also a solution to the vibration problem, which is if you get to vibrations, you get stuck, just do another cycle in hypnotic fractionation. So if you're using the timer, if you get into vibrations and get stuck, then say, well, okay, this particular cycle didn't work out for me. I'll wait for the timer to beep again. And the next time you wake up and fall asleep, you'll be a little bit deeper without having done anything else. You don't have to worry about being good at relaxation, really. You don't have to be good at picking out memory impressions and figuring out what is hypnagogic imagery and what is an actual memory impression. You can just let the timer do all the work, do another cycle with the timer, and the next time around, you'll be more likely to be able to complete it. If you just focus on that, it's kind of a big, crude, big hammer method of dealing with every single problem you might come across. If you, that can also work out for if you are exiting, you make it all the way past the vibration stage, let's say, and you start to exit from your body, and you get about halfway out, and you say, you get one of your arms out and one of your legs out, and maybe your head is halfway out, and then you get stuck there. One shortcut solution there, which we cover in the exit methods techniques in Lucidology 101, is to use the created limbs method, where you, instead of trying to separate this other arm and this other leg, you just imagine that you already have an extra arm and an extra leg that's already separated. And you don't have to, you don't think about the process of moving your arm through every single point in between. You just create one automatically that's already separated. That is a shortcut technique. That's a way to avoid having to go through another timer cycle or another hypnotic fractionation cycle. If that doesn't work, then if you try to do the created limbs method and it doesn't work, it should work, but if it doesn't work, then don't give up. Just do another cycle with the timer. That is, always go back to that. If it doesn't work out, don't give up because you did make progress. Just fall asleep again, let the timer wake you up again, and then you'll be a little bit closer. If you just keep on that, you will be able to get into what any level of trance that you want. A few people asked about the rollover signal and what happens if you're not able to ever really feel the rollover signal. And the answer to that is that it's a lot like vibrations, where it's not something that's required to have OBEs. You can have lots and lots of OBEs and never feel vibrations and never feel the rollover signal. They're both good road signs to be able to tell about how far into trance you are and how much progress you're making. But if you don't get them, then don't worry about it. Really, the rollover signal happens when the body is unsure about whether the mind has fallen asleep. So if the body is pretty sure about what's going on, then you'll never really feel the rollover signal. A lot of times when I'm using stop, drop, and roll, I'll know it's moved to the next body position when I've basically gotten bored with it and I feel like, all right, it's time to go on to the next step. And so I'll you know, either move my arms down or roll over or whatever. I don't really have to wait around for a really strong rollover signal in order to go to the next step. If you really wanted to, if you are really curious to know what the rollover signal feels like, then you could, I suppose, kind of create a scenario that's going to specifically induce it. And that would likely be a lot like when I, the first time that I had the really strong rollover signal was when I had been up for almost 24 hours before. I'd definitely been up all night before, and around noon I decided to lay down and take a nap. So I laid down on my bed, and almost immediately, it was probably within 30 seconds or a minute or so, that all of a sudden I felt this rollover signal. I'd never really felt it before. I didn't really know what it was, but I didn't feel, I was basically too lazy to do anything about it, so I just lay there instead of rolling over. And so that was what caused the sleep paralysis to set in, and I put two and two together and said, okay, one causes the other. You can induce sleep paralysis using the rollover signal. So if you want to go through that kind of thing, you would have to first put yourself in a state of sleep deprivation, and then when you really are wanting to go to sleep, relax quickly, and you'll probably get the rollover signal. And then you can feel what it's like. It actually is a painful sensation. It feels, there is no other kind of pain that I can really map it to. I guess it's like a really strong tightness sensation, I guess. If you can imagine, if there are a whole lot of rubber bands inside your chest and they're pulling it together, that's a little bit like what the sensation feels like, but there isn't really anything quite like it. So basically, I don't really recommend that anyone try to do that. It isn't necessary to have OBEs. It's just one of those things to watch out for. If you do get it, then you know what's going on, and there's, of course, no reason to panic. A lot of people have a problem with swallowing. They'll be relaxing and find that they have an urge to swallow, and that screws up their induction. The swallowing is a lot of times because your mouth is dry. So if you have just a glass of water before you relax, that will probably fix a lot of the swallowing problems. Another source of the problem can be because your head is not elevated enough. So either use a thicker pillow, or I actually have my bed up on concrete or cinder blocks on the head end of the bed. So it's at a slight angle. And so I don't have a problem with reflux or having to swallow saliva a lot because the change in the direction of gravity kind of fixes that. The only time that I really remember having that problem was when I used to have the bed flat on the ground and I was not using a pillow. And if I found actually that if I just put a towel underneath my head and folded it once, so there's two thicknesses of cloth there, that was actually usually enough to keep the swallowing from messing things up. So I do think that it's something that you can fix just with a little bit of water and changing the elevation of your head. A lot of people ask about what to do about itching. And the best thing to do for itching is to increase the amount of water that you drink during the day. Hydrate yourself as much as you can. So pay attention to how much you normally drink and then double it and see if that fixes the problem. You can also use lotion on your skin before you go to bed, or double check to make sure that there's no extra dryness or dust in the air before you go to bed. So sweep the room really well. You can also use a humidifier in the room. But really the core thing is to hydrate your body more. Another type of itching. It's a type of itching that seems like it comes on all at once. And it doesn't really fit with the dryness model because you can have had basically no other itching during the rest of the night. And you'll wake up and be itching. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because it seems like you should have been itching before or and then afterwards. But it's like just for a few moments you start itching and then it goes away. And I think that what that is actually because of some kind of latent muscle tension. That it's a way that your body can signal to you that you have muscle tension that it wants to get rid of. And so each muscle will develop a little bit of an itch on the skin above it. And so if you relax more, if you get up and stretch against the wall, or you massage the muscles and get all of the tension out, that can actually reduce the amount of itching that you get by quite a lot. So the two things there are to, number one, hydrate yourself more, and number two, focus especially deeply on the relaxation methods and make it so that your body doesn't really need to use that signal to let you know that it has extra tension that it wants to get rid of. So one really, really good question that I got is, how do you guarantee sleep paralysis? The way that you guarantee waking sleep paralysis is by making sleep paralysis more and more likely until you progressively get to the point where sleep paralysis becomes guaranteed. There's really nothing else that you can do. The way that you make it so that you progressively make sleep paralysis more and more likely is by tweaking your timer setup so that you're balancing between falling too deeply asleep versus not asleep enough. So you want to get so that right when you're on the edge of falling too deeply asleep, that's when the timer beeps and saves you from going too deeply asleep. You actually do want to fall asleep, but not so far into the dream that you're focused so far in the dream that you can't hear the timer beeps. The way that you progressively optimize your timer setup is, in Lucidology 101, you start out with what's called the 4-minute ramp timer base. And that works a lot like this. It starts out, it's based around the number of 4 minutes. Starts out with 8 minutes, and then 4 minutes, 8, then 12, 16, 20, 20, and then it repeats 6 minutes, which is 1.5 times 4. So with the ramp timer set up on 4 minutes, that works out pretty well for a lot of people. That works out the best for me. Some people may find that actually a 3-minute timer base works better. So that's going to be a lot faster, actually. Starts out with 6 minutes, then 3 minutes, 6, 9, 12, 15, 15, and then 4.5 minutes repeating. The idea there is that you want to get it so that you get the maximum number of beeps, but you're also able to fall asleep the maximum number of times. So kind of the end game for that, where you have a lot of beeps and you have a lot of opportunity to enter into sleep paralysis, is something that we're going to cover at the end, actually It's in the middle of Lucidology 102 when we do the rapid fire timer setup. And that goes like this. It starts out with a 20-minute timer interval. So you have a long time to fall asleep, and then it will repeat really quickly on either 2 minutes or 3 minutes. So it's going to be 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, and so on. The idea there is that you'll have practiced by that point. You'll be good at falling asleep quickly. And when you use the rapid fire timer setup, sleep paralysis is guaranteed. It will make it so that you will wake up and fall asleep so many times, so quickly, in such a short period of time, that it will actually, for some people, it'll go beyond their comfort, their way beyond what they consider to be comfortable. You get into what's called a false awakening, and you can actually get into what's called a false awakening loop. A false awakening is where you get up into the OBE, and everything is so real and so solid and so convincing that you won't think that you actually are in the OBE. Everything will be just like regular waking awareness. And it'll take you a little while to figure out that you've actually woken up into an OBE. You'll find something different in the OBE that will signal to you that you're not physically awake. And then you have to wake up again for real and get up physically. But like I said, with the false awakening loop effect, what happens is that you've gotten so far into the awake asleep threshold, you're hovering so close, that you'll just wake up again into another very realistic OBE, which you won't really know for sure at first if you've actually woken up for real or not. So that's how you guarantee waking sleep paralysis. And it actually may be a little bit more than what you bargained for. So a lot of people ask, what do you do if you want to use the timer but you don't want to disturb anybody else? And what I recommend is to use an MP3 player like this, which you can get off of eBay for really cheap, maybe $5 or $10. You can get an old one. You do not need a new one with lots and lots of space on it. And then you go to lucidology.com/timer and you download the timer zip file. And in there you'll find a new MP3 that I added, which is for an hour's worth of silence. And you can use that to have your MP3 player for, say, 6 or 7 hours of silence, and then have it wake you up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning and go directly into your timer setup. That will allow you to use the timer without beeping. And what I find works without waking anybody else up, what I find works really well is to use an earbud like this. I go through earbuds pretty quickly. They eventually break on me, and I end up with a pair of earbuds where only one of them works. So I cut off the other one, and that's a perfect kind of thing. So you can fall asleep with one earbud in your ear and use the timer, and no one else will hear it. And there are also other uses for the timer, for an MP3 player, which I'll cover in the next question. So people also ask, what do you do if you use the timer, you use wake back to bed, and you find that when you get up to use the timer that you just can't fall back to sleep? And one of the best things you can do for that is to use an MP3 player like this, which I mentioned before, and have it so that instead of getting up and staying awake for 45 minutes and then going back to sleep, you just train yourself to wake up when the timer beeps in your ear, and don't move at all, and just go directly into your timer setup. And that'll make it so that what may happen is that on that very first beep, you'll find that you enter directly into waking sleep paralysis. The timer beeps, and you relax, and your body falls back to sleep. You're in waking sleep paralysis, and then you can use an exit method to have an OBE. And depending on how tired you are, because a lot of times at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you really don't feel like doing anything at all, whether it's having an OBE or anything else. All you want to do is go back to sleep. And that's a good kind of way to do it, because that will force you into not using any visualizations. It'll force you into not trying to do anything. It'll force you into not trying to overthink anything. You just go back to sleep, and that's it. And that puts all the responsibility on the timer. Set your timer on a short interval, maybe 5 or 4 or even 1 minute, and just have it beep at you over and over again. depending on how badly you want to go back to sleep, the better it will work. If you just fall right back to sleep and don't try to do anything, just let the timer beep and wake you back up, what you'll find is that feeling stays with your body. And the feeling of wanting to have the OBE stays with your conscious awareness. So your body will enter into waking sleep paralysis. All of the feeling of, I don't want to do this, stays with your body, and then your conscious awareness can then go have the OBE and can go explore and go have fun and do whatever it is that you want to do. So really the thing there is, don't think that just because you don't want to do it when you first start out, don't think that that's the way it's going to be for the entire induction. When you do get into waking sleep paralysis, when you do start to feel memory impressions, when you do feel that it's starting to work and you're about to have an OBE, the feeling of not wanting to complete it will go away, and you'll say, I'm gonna keep down this road. I'm going to follow this all the way through to the end. I'm going to see what this OBE stuff is all about. And then you'll have enough motivation to stick with it and actually have OBEs. And then once you've had a couple OBEs, really once you know what the feeling is like, and when you know like what the stages of the sensations are like, you know how close you are to success, the more that you can smell the success, the more likely you are to actually complete it. And that becomes sort of a snowball effect. The more OBEs you've had in the past, the more likely you are to be able to have them in the future. So if you just have that first one or two OBEs and you know what it's like, and then once you start to get closer to them the next time you do an induction and you become aware of those same states and sensations, then you will be motivated to see it through, and it makes it so that OBEs become much more likely every single time you do your induction. Another question that comes up is basically, what happens if you get stuck at the rollover signal, or you're falling asleep and you feel body pains, like maybe pain in your hip or something that makes it so that you cannot relax any further. And what you want to do is think about, what is it that you do when you go to sleep at night normally? And then try to make it so that when you go to sleep to do your OBE induction in the early morning, have those two processes be as close to each other as you can possibly make them. So if you don't have the problem with an excessive roll signal when you're falling asleep at night, then what is it that you're doing differently in the morning so that you do have that problem? And then remove that. Probably what's happening, the reason that you get an excessive roll signal is because you're trying to be aware of the process. And when you're starting out, I really recommend not trying to be aware. Just let yourself fall back to sleep. If you get to the point where you're relaxing into it and it feels like you're about to fall asleep, but then you get this roll signal and you kind of get stuck there at the roll signal, it just plateaus, and you can't relax any further. You try to relax, you try to use all of the sleep triggers and sleep commands, and you do all that stuff, and it just doesn't work. And that happens to me sometimes. Then just move and roll or whatever, and go ahead and respond to the roll signal. But don't respond to it too much. Just barely enough so that it goes away. It may be that you can get away with just moving your arm or just moving your leg just a little bit so that you shift enough so that the tension goes away, and then you can relax again. I don't recommend like getting up and getting upset and, you know, throwing a tantrum and then going back to sleep and trying it again. The more that you move, the less likely it is to work. It actually is the case that you can get into partial paralysis and roll completely from one side all the way over to the other and still stay in partial paralysis, but only if you move very, very slowly and you don't do anything to like startle the body. So if you find that you're getting into the roll signal and you're stuck there, then go ahead and allow yourself to respond to the roll signal just enough to dissipate it, just enough to release a little bit of muscle tension, and then go back to sleep again. That'll tie back into the hypnotic fractionation effect, which, like I said before, the more times you enter into trance and then come out of trance and then go back in and out, the more likely you are to go deeper and deeper into trance. So you're really not losing any ground by giving up just a little bit to the roll signal. Go ahead and respond a little bit, but not too much, and then relax as much as you can. You may get the roll signal again, but then just give up a little tiny bit and then go back down into it. And back and forth and back and forth, and you'll eventually get to the point where you get into waking sleep paralysis and you can have your OBE. Another good question is, what do you do if you can't remember your lucid dreams and OBEs? And the best way to always remember your OBEs is to use the wake-induced lucid dream methods, or WILDs, where you go directly from being awake right into the lucid dream, and then you don't spend too much time in the OBE. You know, only spend maybe 30 seconds or a minute or something. Don't go too far into the OBE. Just go in, check stuff out, and then end the OBE by willing yourself back in your body. Just think about your body, and the OBE will be over again. When you do that, it makes it so that you eliminate any loss of consciousness. So you're not falling asleep and then having to remember back through that state of unconsciousness. This works the best when you're using the timer method, and you have an OBE on the beep as opposed to in the middle of a timer interval. So the timer beeps, your body wakes up for a moment, or maybe it doesn't wake up. Your mind stays awake, your body falls back to sleep. You get turned to waking sleep paralysis, then you use an exit method such as either the visualization methods that we're going to cover later on in Lucidology 102, or you use the safety cap exit method. You have your OBE then, so you've created a situation where you've gone directly from being physically focused and consciously aware to being non-physically focused and consciously aware, and at no point in those two states did you lose consciousness. And so then it's easy to, when you get up physically again, you end the OBE and you get up physically. That makes it so that it's as easy to remember what you did in that OBE as it is to remember the last 15 minutes of regular waking awareness. So there's no problem then with trying to remember stuff. The other kind of scenario where you do lose consciousness, for instance, if you're going to try to remember a lucid dream that you had in the middle of the ramp timer setup, in those 20-minute intervals, when you become spontaneously lucid during the middle of those 20-minute intervals, or if you want to remember a dream that you had in the middle of the night, the best and easiest way to remember those is to use your physical body position and think back to what body position you were in when you had those dreams, and slowly roll back into that position. And you'll find that the memories that you had when you were in that body position come back a lot more easily. You'll be able to remember those dreams much more clearly and a lot more quickly. That doesn't work if you wake up in the morning and you get up and then you lay down again and roll back in that body position. It doesn't work very well then. That only works if you think about remembering your dreams before you even open your eyes. You wake up in the morning, you roll directly back into the position that you were in when you had those dreams, you remember them, and then you get up. That works out pretty well. Another good question is, what do you do if you get stuck in paralysis or stuck in partial paralysis? How do you complete paralysis? The Lucidology 101 answer to that question is to use the sleep commands, such as using pause breaths or muscle twitching in particular to complete the paralysis. And the way that I like to do that is actually when I feel that I have vibrations and partial paralysis, what I'll do is I'll kind of put my focus on the center of my chest and start the gravity press feeling. So you focus on the feeling of gravity pulling you or pushing you into the bed a little bit. And that kind of has a tendency to, it's like a hint to your body to enter sleep paralysis. And while I'm doing that, I'll relax as deeply as I possibly can and use a little bit of muscle twitching, not a lot. And then once I feel it's starting to work, then I'll use some pause breaths. So, and while this is happening, usually when you notice that you've entered into sleep paralysis or you're into partial paralysis, you've already started naturally sleep breathing. So this is a really good time for you to listen to what your body is doing and feel how it should be breathing so that you can specifically and consciously induce sleep paralysis the next time around. And what I noticed recently was that when you use sleep breathing to induce sleep paralysis, there are two main things you got to worry about. The first one is the breathing rhythm, which is usually long and relaxed. And the second thing is the amount of the distance that your rib cage expands makes a big difference. I recently found that if you just use sleep breathing and you don't expand your rib cage enough, then the sleep breaths don't contribute anymore to sleep paralysis. But if you just expand your ribs a little bit further than you think they should be, like that much, just a tiny bit, then your body takes that as a signal to enter sleep paralysis. And each sleep breath that you take puts you a little bit further into sleep paralysis. My personal sleep breathing pattern, well, first of all, if you're going to do this, a good exercise to do is to expand your, take a deep breath, and become aware, become very consciously aware of how far you can expand your chest. And you don't want to force it. You don't want to have it so that you're like really forcing it, but it's just, it feels like you're giving yourself a bit of a stretch. And then the exhales are always very relaxed. You use muscle tension when you inhale, and then the exhales are nothing more. All of the force from the exhale is just your rib cage, the bones themselves contracting. And there's no muscle force at all involved in the exhale. So here's an example of what your sleep breathing rhythm might be similar to. It's not going to be exact, but it'll be close. And the exhales end up being a lot more forceful than they are when you're awake. You probably don't walk around and breathe forcefully out every single time. But when you're asleep, you do breathe out forcefully quite a bit. So there really isn't a way that I can transfer that feeling to you. The best way for you to learn what sleep breathing feels like is to make a recording of yourself at night with I don't have one. But you can get cheap little digital voice recorders that will record an entire night's worth of breathing, and then you can just load up that MP3 file that it makes into Audacity and see where it was that you were sleep breathing, because it'll show up. It'll be a lot louder than the rest of the night, and look at that part and listen to it, and then use that to hear what you sound like when you're asleep. And then imitate that while you're awake, and then when you're going to go and induce sleep paralysis, you create that same feeling, the same breathing rhythm, and also be aware that you gotta worry about the depth. The depth is very important. You can't really get a sense of the depth just from listening to it, but now that you know to watch for that feeling, you can kind of add that in artificially by having practiced the stretching feeling while you're awake. You can use that when you get into partial paralysis to turn it into full paralysis. One good question is, what do you do if you get into waking sleep paralysis, but then you can't complete the exit? So you try an exit method such as the safety cap method, and it doesn't work out for you. Sometimes sleep paralysis doesn't actually put you enough into a subconscious focus that you can get a good enough non-physical focus that you can complete the OBE. And So what you do there is the only real way to deal with that is with the big, heavy hammer method, and just go ahead and do another hypnotic fractionation cycle. And if you're in sleep paralysis already, then it should be pretty simple to recover from that because you're already so close. If you just do one more hypnotic fractionation cycle, so for instance, if you're on the, if you're using the ramp setup, and that'll probably happen during one of the two 20-minute intervals. Right after those 20-minute intervals are 6-minute intervals. So wait for the 6-minute intervals to come. And each of those, each time that the timer beeps them, is another opportunity for you to have sleep paralysis. And what you should do is take good notes and keep track of how much progress you made, how what was the deepest state that you made it to for that OBE session, and see, okay, let's say that during the second 20-minute interval, you always get to waking sleep paralysis, and then you can't quite pull it off. So what you should do there is alter your timer setup so that you know if that's coming, have it so that you shorten that, you shorten that 20-minute interval to, say, maybe 10 minutes or even 5 minutes or something, because you know that you're, that is where you are kind of tuned to get into waking sleep paralysis, and have it so that instead of going through another full 20-minute cycle, have it so that you dip directly into the faster timer cycles. So you go, instead of 20 minutes and then 20 minutes, have it go 20 minutes and then 5 minutes, and 5 minutes repeating. So right then you say, all right, I'm good at relaxing at that point. I'm getting into waking sleep paralysis, and now I want to just hammer it home and make it so that I have a lot of opportunities for it to work out. And maybe the first time you get into waking sleep paralysis, you're not quite deep enough for you able to pull out and, you know, use the gravity press and twist out. It may be that you need to go through the cycle one more time, or maybe two more times. So just alter your timer setup so that you can just hammer yourself to get into a really good, strong subconscious focus so that you almost cannot help but to start having OBEs. A few people wrote in to ask about what happens when you start to get some dream imagery, but then it kind of fizzles out, or you're not able to maintain your attention long enough to be able to turn it into anything meaningful. And this is more of a Lucidology 102 type of question, rather than bridging from Lucidology 101 into Lucidology 102. But I'm going to cover it here anyway, because it's a good question that you need to know about as soon as possible. So really what it comes down to is that you need to energize the memory impressions to the point that they become solid and vivid and tangible and something you can really grab onto. And we have specific visualizations for that called energizer visualizations. And one really good one, which I use all the time, is to imagine that there's a light shining in your eyes, like a strobe light or something, and have it shine in your eyes and flash on and off, and do that while you're using other visualizations. It'll have kind of a magnifying effect. Whatever other visualization that you're using will become more powerful. Whatever memory impressions you start collecting will become more solid and more real and more vivid. And just imagining the strobe will help to keep your focus. And you'll eventually get to the point where you imagine the strobe and you literally see the strobe. You'll see a flash of light in your eyes. And you can get to the point where you strobe yourself and it actually hurts your eyes. You'll feel pain in your retinas. And that's a really good sign, actually, that you're doing it right. That's the basic process that you're going to use to actually eventually make your OBEs become so immersive that you can focus into them. It'll be just like here in waking awareness. You'll be able to hear things, and you'll be able to feel things, and everything will be just like physical waking awareness. Another really good one is so imagine you've got one of these tape measures, and you can make a lot of noise with these. And that's a really, really good stimulation, kind of sensation, and you can get a lot of feedback from it. You can feel it, like there's resistance that you can feel in the springiness of the metal, and it kind of, you know, it gives you a lot of feedback. And then when you're done, you can do that, and you can, you know, it kind of snaps back at you. So that's a really good energizer visualization that you can use also. Another one is once you start to get memory impressions that you did not create yourself, and what you want to do is to solidify them and make it so that you can acquire them and hold on to them. What you can do is, like, for instance, here's a nail clipper. Say you have a memory impression of a nail clipper that you want to latch on to it. Imagine that it's spinning. Just spinning it alone will cause it to solidify and, like, slow down and not just flit in and out of existence. And it'll eventually start to not only solidify, but if you make it spin fast enough, it'll start to glow. And it's the same kind of thing with the strobing effect. You're actually creating light that you can focus onto and then use that to have your OBE. So we're going to cover that more in the OBE blueprints. There's four different types of visualizations, and energizer visualizations are the second type. You need to have all four types of visualizations in order to complete an OBE consistently. But focusing, getting really good at energizer visualizations can really carry you a long way. Here are some more solutions to what you can do if you use the timer method and you end up just falling asleep. It may simply be that you actually do need the sleep. So try going to sleep earlier at night. If you go to sleep normally at 10 o'clock and then get up to do the timer method around 4 or 5, try going to sleep around 8. That's actually what I do, especially for quick switch OBEs. I find that the time of night that I go to sleep has a big impact on whether or not I'll be able to spontaneously become aware during sleep or on the beeps. 8 o'clock works the best for me. If I go to sleep later than that, I end up getting up around 6 or 7 in the morning and not waking up at all for the quick switches. If I go to sleep too early, around 7 or so, then I wake up at like 1 o'clock and it doesn't work at all. So that would be the first thing. If you're falling too deeply asleep, it may simply be that you need to have more sleep. A couple other things that you can do are to create distractions in the room. So, for instance, you might leave the lights on in the room, or have a fan turned on in the room, or a radio playing some quiet music in the background. Have something that keeps you as like a safety net, so that you're a little bit distracted as you're falling asleep. And even if the timer is too long, you won't go too far into sleep because of the distractions. Another thing you can do is to just be a little bit cold. So if you normally sleep with two covers, just sleep with one, or even sleep with no covers. And that'll keep you from becoming so relaxed that you become too deeply asleep. Another thing you can do is to sleep in a slightly uncomfortable position. So if you normally sleep on your side, then fall asleep on your back. And that might be just a little bit uncomfortable so that you don't go too far into sleep. You might even fall asleep in a chair, which maybe make it difficult to fall asleep initially, but then once you do, you're not going to go so far into sleep that you can't become aware. One person asked, they sound like they're pretty advanced, and they say that they're having 1 to 3 OBEs per week, but they've kind of plateaued, and they want to know, what do they do to go to the next step? How do you step it up and have even more OBEs than that? And like I said before, the way that you speed things up with the timer is to shorten the time between the intervals. So if you're using a 3-minute base, then shorten that down to a 2-minute base, and you'll have more OBEs that way. even faster than that is to completely eliminate the timer altogether and go to timerless hypnotic fractionation, which we'll cover in the quick switch OBE section later on in Lucidology 102. Basically, with timerless hypnotic fractionation, it's exactly the same thing as the Lucidology 101 methods, except you're using visualizations to enter and exit trance over and over again. And the more you can speed that process up, the more OBEs you'll have. So, for instance, you get good at using, now this is kind of getting ahead of everything, but basically I mentioned the Energizer visualizations before. One example of a skill that you'll develop is getting really good at using the same Energizer visualization. It's actually better to use the same visualization over and over again, because it kind of like it drives a groove through your mind, and it's like a rut almost, that you want to get kind of into a rut here, because the deeper that rut is, the easier it is for you to get right back into that state of mind without having to do a lot of preparation work and trying to like get into the mindset. The more you use the same visualization, the more you really get good at just bringing that idea in your mind vividly and clearly immediately, the faster your visualizations will be. So that's one of the things that we'll practice in the quick switch session, is to just use the same very specific visualizations to have very specific effects, and know when to stop using each visualization and then go on to the next part of it. Because there are the four basic types we'll cover in the OBE blueprint. We'll show you how to go from one to the next and not spend too much time on any specific part. So that's basically how you speed things up, either using the timer or without using the timer. One person asked about, what do you do if you are about to complete the exit and you're on your way out of your body, but then you become aware of a tightness sensation in your body, and that distracts your focus and you end up ruining the OBE? And it sounds to me like what's happening there is the heavy lead blanket feeling from sleep paralysis is what is causing that feeling of heaviness or tightness in your chest. Or it could possibly be the rollover signal, but either one of those two, in either case, doesn't really matter, because the solution is the same. If you are getting distracted at the same point each time because of something in the OBE, then it means that you're actually doing it right, because you're getting a consistent problem. And that, so you're not just getting erratic stuff all over the place. You are able to consistently induce the same state, which is what it means that you're doing things right, actually. Now, how do you get beyond that? And if the problem is that your mind becomes distracted, the only way, really, in that case, I think, to deal with the distraction is just get to the point where it's kind of old hat. It doesn't distract you, because you've had it so many times before that it doesn't really, it's not exciting to you. It doesn't really, it's just something in kind of in the background of your awareness. You feel like you've been there before, you've had that distraction before, and you just kind of ignore it. It's like something that you take as a given, something that's just going to happen. That was something that happened to me a lot as I was exploring how you induce OBEs in different ways, is that every single time I would get into an OBE and I would discover something new, that would be where the OBE ended, because I would say, oh, this is really cool, what's happening here? And that would be enough of a distraction that I would ruin my focus and the OBE would be over. The OBE would be finished. So the only thing to do then was to be consistent enough to work myself back into that same exact place, and then not be wowed by it, not be distracted by it, but just be kind of bored by it and go over it and get past it. So anytime you have something to distract your mind, if it's a mental distraction that causes the OBE to end, the only thing that seems to work for me consistently is to just get to the point where it doesn't really have any effect on you. You don't really care about it. You might acknowledge that effect is there, and then you just go on with it. One question which I thought was interesting was, what is your favorite OBE induction to use? And this is kind of a loaded and dangerous question, because if I tell you that such and such a method is my favorite method to use, then what you'll probably do is only focus on that one method and ignore all the rest. And that's not a good way to do it, because really every single OBE that you do is kind of like a puzzle that you have to put together. Everyone is going to be different. And one method, you may start using one method and find that the next step will be method A, and if you use method B, it won't work. So it's not necessarily the case that all OBEs are linear. You have to be aware of what your different options are. And just because I might prefer one kind of method doesn't mean that I'm always actually able to use that method. There may be something that comes up which makes it so that I have to use a different kind of method. My favorite OBEs are the ones that allow me to skip as many steps as I possibly can. And so that's why I say that my favorite OBE styles and inductions are not the ones that I always am able to do. Sometimes I have to do every single step in between, and those are not my favorite, but hey, if it's an OBE, it's an OBE. Really, a more accurate question to ask would be, which components for OBEs do you use most consistently? And this is also getting a little bit ahead of us because we haven't covered the OBE blueprint yet. But for future reference, the visualizations that I find that I use the most are the computer menu visualization, which we'll talk about later, and the strobe visualization, which we talked about earlier and we'll talk about later also. I use those quite a bit for the hypnotic fractionation stage, where you're not using a timer. My overall induction, which I like to use the most, is the quick switch, which we'll talk about at the end of Lustology 102. Basically, I go to sleep at 8 o'clock, I wake up spontaneously or become spontaneously aware around 4 or 5 in the morning, and then the way that I like to complete the OBE the most, after having used timerless hypnotic fractionation, which we'll talk about later, is to do what I call the just get up method. Pretty much the only thing that you do is, after you've gotten a subconscious focus using hypnotic fractionation, is to just get up. And you don't have to use the rotate around, or you don't have to teleport, you don't have to really do anything. You literally just get up, and that is the extent of your separation process. And so that's why I say I'm not always able to do that. A lot of times I have to do lots of other steps in order to complete the OBE. But when I can, if I can simplify it down to just basically doing two or three things, then that's great. But if I were to tell you that to just do that, just focus on being able to do all your OBEs with two or three steps, you're probably not going to be able to complete your goal of having 100 OBEs in 100 days, because the chances of all your OBEs being of that specific type, where you can just do it with just a couple steps, is very slim. Really, the more well-rounded your repertoire of techniques you have, the more likely you'll be able to have success no matter what comes up. And also, really, my favorite OBEs, the other quality of OBEs that I like, in addition to them just being very simple, when I can cut out a lot of steps, are the ones where I don't quite understand what's going on. And that is, there are a couple types of OBEs that I haven't quite figured out, but which are extremely very compelling in what they could possibly do. And I'm going to talk about those in Lustology 103 when I've figured them out a little bit more. So there is more to the induction side of things that I haven't quite figured out, but going to cover in Lustology 103. So really, my favorite stuff is the stuff that's A, interesting, and B, easy and quick. One person asked about, what do you do about your friends? If you want to kind of open them up to the world of OBEs and lucid dreaming and tell them about how cool and how fun it is, but you don't want to sound like a weirdo. And I don't know if that's really even possible. It's inherently very weird. What I would do, and what I do, is just focus on the fact that it's a lot of fun. And you don't have to really even mention, like, the spiritual aspect or anything else about it. Just mention that it's really very enjoyable to make your dreams as solid and as real as you can possibly make them, and basically become a superhero where you can do amazingly awesome stuff with your mind. And you can walk through walls, and you can fly, and you can, you know, you can use telekinesis, you can do all kinds of really amazing stuff that you can't do while you're physically focused. And just leave it at that. You don't have to, like, the more extra stuff that you pile onto it about your theories about what may or may not be happening, the less likely other people are to buy into it. And that's actually why I've separated out all of the, like, the non-physical geography map is going to be all in Lucidology 103. I've separated out all of my personal ideas about what is happening in OBEs from the induction. So if somebody doesn't care about what I personally think about it, they don't have to wade through all that stuff. They can just go through Lucidology 101 and Lucidology 102 and say, well, here's how I do it. And if they want to know more about what to expect in an OBE and what kind of things to watch out for and maybe even what kind of dangers are out there in OBEs, some people are absolutely convinced that there is no danger to it, and that's fine. I don't think that that's very accurate, but if someone is absolutely adamantly determined to believe that there is no danger, then that's okay. They can do the induction methods, and they don't have to listen to, any information about danger that they may encounter. They can encounter the danger and pretend that it doesn't exist, and that's okay. So that's what I would recommend. Just basically take the minimum amount of work and effort that you can possibly put into telling them about lucid dreams and OBEs as you can possibly put into it, and don't give them any more information than they actually specifically ask for. You might mention to them that it's something that's interesting and cool, but I wouldn't push it on. One person wrote in about a question. They said that they had an OBE recently in which their body did not fall asleep, and they had the sensation or the effect or whatever of, they had the focus of being 2 or 3 feet away from their body at the same time as being in their body, which was not asleep. And that is actually exactly the kind of state that you get into as you're doing a teleporting quick switch, which we'll cover at the end of Lucidology 102. In fact, the definition of a quick switch OBE, part of the definition is an OBE in which you do not enter sleep paralysis and you do not watch the body fall asleep. You don't have vibrations. You don't have rushing noises. Basically, you enter into the very minimum amount of trance that you can possibly be in order to acquire a non-physical focus, and then you teleport out of your body. Teleporting out of your body is a good way to do it because that eliminates exit blindness. A lot of times, if you do the traditional style peel away from your body exit that you read about in a lot of the older books, that results in exit blindness where you get out and you can't see and you're like trying to pry your eyes open, and maybe you can get your sight back and maybe you can't. If you teleport out of your body and you create a brand new non-physical copy of yourself, then that eliminates exit blindness. So that's why the quick switch OBEs focus around that, because if you get good at teleporting, the other thing about teleporting that's better than the peel away style of OBEs is that, generally speaking, with the exception of the just get up style of quick switch OBEs, is that you have to be in a deeper level of trance to do the style where you peel away from your body. If you teleport, you can actually do that at a lighter level of trance. So what this person was describing was a lot like this more advanced style of OBE, where you teleport out of your body, and he or she is describing the state kind of in between, where right before you have totally completed the quick switch. When you've completed the quick switch, you no longer have a focus on your physical body, and you can just go ahead. You can have the OBE, and you don't have to worry about trying to not move your physical body anymore because you're completely focused in the OBE. So this is an example. I mentioned way at the beginning of this video how you can do the methods here in Lucidology 102. And in fact, some people, like this person, can do the 102 style methods, the very advanced ones, where you do a quick switch teleporting OBE without having used, I don't know if this person used any visualizations. Based on their description, they didn't use the timer at all. It didn't really sound like they used much of the Lucidology 101 methods at all. So even if you have not done the Lucidology, if you haven't mastered Lucidology 101, that's okay. You may have a lot better luck just forgetting about the timer altogether and just going directly into focusing on the quick switch style. That actually may be your particular forte. On the other hand, you do want to make sure that you try all of the methods, because if it's not working out for you, you want to find out which style is better for you. Like I said before, the quick switch style of OBE was not what I was good at all when I first started out. I had to go through all, I had to start from ground zero and you know, not do the visualization methods. I had to use the timer. I had to forget about doing anything at all while I was using the timer. And only after I had done lots and lots of OBEs did it finally kind of start to sink into me, and I got a feeling for what it's like. Once you get that feeling, then you're better off getting rid of the timer and focusing on the timerless hypnotic fractionation methods. We will cover, like I said before, I'll give you ways to experiment with each method in the 100 OBE system so you can find out what you're good at. So that wraps up the Lucidology 101 to Lucidology 102 troubleshooting guide and bridge. And in the next section is the 100 OBE system, in which I'll show you exactly how to go from having had no OBEs at all in your entire life to having had 100 OBEs in 100 days. So stick around.